Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. My sister and my brother-in-law, they went to a workshop to learn how to become marriage facilitators in a marriage ministry. The people that were leading it, the facilitators of this workshop, were Doug and Jill. And there were probably 10 couples that were there to get this training. And Doug and Jill sat everyone down and said, "We want you to answer one question. And the question that we want you to answer is, what's the nicest thing that your spouse has ever done for you? What's the nicest thing your spouse has ever done for you?" Jill, one of the facilitators, said, "I'll go first." She says, "One of the nicest things that Doug has ever done for me is he forgave me. He forgave me for carrying on a 6-month affair last year with another member of our congregation. During the affair, I broke our wedding vows. I lied. I harmed 2 families, and I broke his trust." My sister says that the whole room was in shock. My sister sat there stunned, unsure if she should even breathe. This is the third Sunday of a sermon series we're calling You're In. And we're looking at your identity in Christ Jesus. And each Sunday, the message begins with the letters I-N. First of all, we looked at you are invaluable. You are invited. And each single Sunday, I'm asking the question, are you in? And let's see if we remember our response. Are you in? Yes, I'm in Christ Jesus. Okay, let me do it again. Are you in? Yes, I'm in Christ Jesus. Well, the message I want to give this Sunday is I want to say that you are influential. You are influential. Let me ask you a question. If God was going to change the world, who would he use? A superhero? A president? A governor? A general? A movie star? A heavyweight fighter? Who would he use? Or what if he was going to change a town, or a neighborhood, or a church, or a family? Who would God use? I'm going to cut right to the chase, and I'm going to say that God would use you. That's exactly right. God would use you. And I want to say that today because I believe that you are an influencer. If you were to talk to young people today about what's an influencer, they would talk about someone on social media who had a huge following, or someone on Facebook that had 1,000 friends, or something like that, on Twitter who 1 million people listened to. But I want to talk about an influencer as someone different. I want to talk about an influencer as you. People are watching you, and they follow your example. If you don't believe it, just think about when you're driving. Think about the gestures you make. Think about the emotions you carry when you get upset. And realize that they are being observed by others around you, especially if you got kids. Guess what? You're teaching them how to drive. You're teaching them how to respond to times when they're in traffic. You are an influencer. And here's the big message, the big point that I want to say. You have no idea of how God might use just one conversation, one expression of love, or one genuine concern to change someone's life. Can you read that with me? You have no idea how God might use one conversation, one expression of love, one genuine concern to change someone's life. Jesus preaches this incredible sermon, and he uses two metaphors to describe us as being influencers. The first metaphor he uses is salt, and he says, you are the salt of the earth, the salt of the earth. Well, what does salt do? It preserves, it adds flavor, it enhances. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to lean over to your neighbor, and I want you to say, neighbor, you're kind of salty. Let's try that. Ah, neighbor, you're kind of salty. Now guess what? If we were with the younger crowd, salty might have a different meaning, right? Because when you say you're salty to the young kids, it means, oh, what, you upset? You mad? You know, what's going on, right? But we're going to talk about salty in a different way. We're going to say you're salty means that you stand out, that there's something special about you, that you are an influencer. The second metaphor that Jesus uses is the light. He says, you are the light of the world. Do me a favor, lean over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're kind of shiny. Can you do that with me? Neighbor, you're kind of shiny, right? You're kind of shiny. Now again, that's got another meaning, right? Because if you say to somebody, ah, you're kind of shiny, maybe that means they didn't put their makeup on right, okay, right? You're kind of shiny. You need to conceal some of that, right? But we're going to reclaim that word as well. We're going to say that when you're shiny, it means that you overcome the darkness. When you're shiny, others see your good deeds, and instead of glorifying you, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. You're shiny. You're an influencer. Now, I'm going to add just one other. There's this time when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says, I will make you fishers of men. Lean over to Frank Huber and say, Frank, you smell kind of fishy. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm trying to say you are an influencer, and you have no idea how God might use what? One conversation, one expression of love, one genuine concern to change someone's life. I want to give you an example of an influencer in my own life. And here's the one problem with being a pastor at the same place for 19 years. You all have heard all my stories, every single one of them. So I apologize for probably saying this for the fourth or fifth time. But this was so important to me. When I was in high school, I went to a youth church retreat. And the presenter was presenting, and it was 2 hours away, and all my friends had gathered from Ohio. I hadn't seen them in more than a year. And so I was just excited to be with my friends. I wasn't paying attention to what this presenter was talking about. I was kind of being rude and talking while he was talking. My friend Deborah Crowell turned to me and said, Joe, what are you here for? And it was a check, you know. She kind of put me in my place. What are you here for? But more than just a check, to me, she was asking a question that was coming out of her mouth, but God was the one who was asking me, Joe, what are you here for? Not just at this moment, but why did I place you here? What is your purpose in life? It's a question that has been central to who I am and one that I will never, ever forget. I later, years later, told Deborah that conversation changed my life. She said, it did? She said, I had no idea. She said, Joe, actually, I thought you were mad at me for saying it. She had no idea of the power of her words. Here's what I want to say. Influence isn't always instant. The seed you plant doesn't always take root right away. Here's another one. influence isn't always obvious. God doesn't always use the obvious person to make the change. God doesn't always use the strongest or the wisest. In 1 Corinthians 1, 27 and 28, it says this: God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chooses the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are not, to overcome the things that are. Let me say something. I believe that each of us have been influenced by the words, the conversation, the gestures of others in significant ways. But I also believe this, that each and every one of us, God gives an opportunity to be that same influence in somebody's life. You might think, oh, there's so many people that I can't reach. There's so many people, I could never do this. But God has created you in such a way that there is at least one person that you can be an influence to. That there is one person that you can reach. One person that a conversation, that a gesture of love can be a change in their life. Why do I say that? Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There's a story in the New Testament about a woman who was not the obvious choice of an influencer. We call her the woman at the well, and it's found in the 4th chapter of John. And let me make out three quick points about why this woman is not the obvious choice as being an influencer. Here's the first reason why. Number one, she was a Samaritan. Being a Samaritan meant that she was half Jewish and half a Philistine. Racism is real today, and it was real back in Jesus' day too. Number two, she was a woman. Sexism is real today. It was real back in Jesus' day too. And the third reason, she's not in a healthy relationship. She'd been married 5 times, and the guy that she was with was not her husband. I want to say sin is real today, and it was real back in Jesus' day too. Now, most of the times when I preach this message, I spend a lot of time focusing on her flaws, focusing on what she's done wrong, but I think there's more to this story. I think that Jesus takes an opportunity to meet her and to point out and to deal in a real way with sin and say, guess what? I'm not going to ignore this. I'm not going to pretend that if it isn't there and it doesn't exist, but I'm also going to show you grace and love and put a challenge of change. The woman at the well and Jesus have this cool conversation. Jesus asks her for some water. And she questions, Jesus, is it right for you to ask me for water? And I love it. Jesus comes right back and says, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for water, and I would give you living water. And then she says, but hold on, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get me water when you don't even have a bucket? And let me just pause right here just for a second and say this. God has given all of us a bucket. God has given each and every one of us a bucket. And when I say a bucket, I mean that God has given us a capacity, a way to receive and carry the love and grace of God. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a bucket? Do you have something for God to pour his grace and mercy in? Paul talks about our lives as a living bucket. Only he uses the word vessel. The scripture says we have this treasure, the power of God, in jars of clay. Prophet Isaiah would talk about God as the potter and we are the clay. I believe that our lives are buckets that receive and hold the grace of God. And think about it. What is the purpose of a bucket? I think it's twofold. Number one, we receive the gift of God's love that's poured into us. But then the second important thing is we need to pour it into the lives of others. We are vessels. And we receive and we pour. That's the purpose of a bucket, and I think that that's the purpose of our lives. Jesus is giving her a choice. You can either have the stale waters of slavery, sin, tradition, and thirst again, or you can choose the living water of God. Here's how she responds. In verse 25, she says, I know that Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So the woman left her water jar. And I think that's so cool. First of all, she's saying, you don't even have a water jar. She's there to go and get the water. But when she hears this, she leaves her water jar. And she went and ran to the city and said to the people, come and see a man who has told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She left her water jar because her bucket was already full. She's full of joy, of hope and excitement, and she's overflowing. And here's what happened. The people come streaming out of town to see Jesus. Here's the question. Who brought them to see Jesus? Who was the influencer? Who changed the town? Was it the mayor? Was it the governor? Was it the football hero? It was the broken woman, the messed up lady, the one with the bad reputation. Everyone would have seen her as immoral, but Jesus saw her as a miracle in the making, and he filled her bucket. Friends, I want you to know that you are an influencer. Others might look at you, or you might look at yourself, and you might see all the flaws, all the cracks, all the reasons why you can't be used. You might look at yourself as immoral, but God looks at you as a miracle in the making. Influence isn't always instant. It isn't always obvious, but it is so needed in our lives. My sister and her husband went to a workshop to learn how to become leaders in a marriage ministry. The facilitators were Doug and Jill, and Doug and Jill told the couples, we want to begin with an icebreaker, and we want you to tell us, what's the nicest thing that your spouse has ever done for you? Jill said, I'll go first. She says, one of the nicest things that Doug has ever done for me is he forgave me for carrying on a six-month affair last year with another member of our congregation. During the affair, I broke our wedding vows, I lied, I harmed two families, and I broke his trust. The whole room was in silent shock. My sister sat there, scared to blink, scared to say anything, scared to even breathe. And my sister began to think to herself, Last year, how can you be qualified to train others on marriage ministry if you just had an affair last year? But as my sister listened to this woman express gratitude to her husband and God for their forgiveness, she began to get a glimpse of Jill in a new way. I want to read to you what my sister wrote. I saw Jill at the well. I saw her there, and Jesus was pouring life-giving water into her bucket. I saw her running to tell others, there is a Messiah who not only can answer all of our questions, but who is Elroy, the God who truly sees me and loves me, flaws and all. Friends, God sees our flaws, not just as obstacles, but as tools that he might use. He frees us from the burden of imperfection and sin so that we can focus on our purpose, being a vessel that receives the love of God and pours that love into the lives of others. Amen. Amen. Amen.